20 on the 15th, is it the 15th or the 16th?
16th of May.
All right. Real quick introductions, I guess they like to do that here, so let's start with Representative Cornish.
Tony Cornish, District 24B, Good Thunder, Minnesota, south of Mankato, 20 miles.
Roger Reiner, 7B, Duluth.
Bev Skelzy, 54B, 5, Ramsey County, Skies, directly to me.
With Larry Jones.
With Larry Jones.
I'm Larry Hosh, represent District 14B, which is the central part of Stearns County, and just to the west of St. Cloud.
Rita Saylor, District 2B, Park Rapids and parts north of that.
Dan Scoggins, District 10, Otter Tail, Whatcom County.
I'm Bonnie Brzezowski, Senate Counsel, and my House counterpart is normally, is Matt Burris, and he is out on parental leave.
I'm glad we allowed it to happen, but it's hard this summer. Terrell Clark, and the Senator from St. Cloud, and represent St. Cloud, Wake Park, St. Augusta, Rockville, and Hayden Township.
Jeanne Moore, Representative Charles Johnson, and Representative Tim Mahoney.
Bill Ingebrigtsen, District 11, Alexandria, representing Todd Douglas, Grant, and Stevens County.
Leo Foley was also appointed to this conference committee, and I went down and his door was locked, his LA was gone, so I'm assuming Leo's gone home for the evening, so we're going to meet without him. Leo was not in favor, but just for full disclosure, was not in favor of the provision that was added in the House and would not have signed the conference committee report anyway, but does, I think, have an amendment that we'll see here in the next few minutes. The mini trucks legislation passed in both bodies, so if we could just, you know, focus our attention on the part that was added in the House, which is the administrative fines provision, and I think I'll ask Senator Clark to maybe walk us through that. It was kind of her provision, or do we have the House author?
Yes, Larry.
Larry, were you the author? Why don't you?
Yes.
Why don't I yield to Larry and let you just kind of tell us what we're looking at, Larry?
Well,
Representative Hosh.
I'm sorry. No, I'd rather go by Larry. Mr. Chair, this has been an issue that I've been working on for 5 years, and Representative Cornish and I have been, I won't say battling it out, but on opposite sides for a number of those years, and I'm extremely happy that we're together now on what appears to be, I think, a reasonable compromise for most of the parties involved. This does give, this authorizes administrative fines within certain parameters in state law. It's mainly for minor traffic offenses, 9 miles an hour or under, stop line violations, certain equipment violations, failure to yield, so on and so forth. It establishes a uniform fine of a total of $60. $40 would be going to the issuing local government and $20 to the state. And it also requires a uniform ticket to be developed by the Department of Public Safety. Has some reporting requirements in which the cities or the issuing local unit of government has to provide to the auditor. One of the challenges that we've had is, you know, trying to base our policy on assumptions and not facts or specific data. So hopefully the information that we'll be gathering in the next year, we'll be able to see what the results really are. Overall, we have been able to garner the support of most of those affected by this policy change, from the cities and counties to the police officers, to the chiefs of police.
Sheriffs?
Sheriffs, the whole works. Highway Patrol, excuse me?
Public Safety.
Public Safety is, I mean, we've really worked hard to try to address all the concerns, and I'm looking forward to any discussion that we'll have in this conference committee and ultimately finally dealing with this. We have hundreds of municipalities doing administrative fines, applying them in different ways.
And counties.
And counties, with multiple fine levels, and that is a concern, and this is gonna address those concerns.
Further discussion on the House version of this bill, starting at Section 5 is where you'll see the administrative fines start. Senator Clark.
I'm wondering if it might be helpful, particularly for the Senate, just to have counsel quickly go through the provisions. I think Representative Hosh did a very good overview, but I think since part of why we wanted to do this, make sure people understand what's in it.
floor is yours.
Mr. Chair and members, section one is the first administrative fine section, and that is it simply adds administrative fines to the list of information that's collected by the state auditor from local units of government. And 2, 3, and 4 are mini trucks, and that is identical to Senate provision. Then on section 5, it adds, there is language added there to add administrative citations to the provision that says that there can't be quotas for various types of violations and citations. Section 6 is, and this is a little bit different from the Senate file, it exempts the citation from the uniform traffic ticket. So this contemplates that there would be a separate form that would be the administrative citation. It wouldn't be a box checkoff on the uniform traffic ticket. And then section 7 has most of the substantive provisions. Except for the state patrol, and this does contemplate that the state troopers can also issue administrative tickets. Other than the state patrol, the local jurisdiction, county board or city council, has to adopt a resolution in order to have its peace officers issue these administrative citations. There has to be some sort of a process for a person to challenge an administrative citation, and the local resolution has to provide that a neutral third party will hear any challenges to the citations. The peace officers may not issue citations for any traffic offenses other than those specifically listed in this section of statute. Then paragraph B enumerates what the violations are that can be penalized through administrative penalties. One is a speed limit, exceeding the speed limit by less than 10 miles per hour. One is to fail to obey a stop line. And the final one, actually, there are quite a few sections that are cross-cited there, and they're mainly equipment regulations. So these are all part of the package that the local resolution would authorize to be enforced by administrative penalty. Then paragraph C, no citations other than for those violations listed. And this, I guess, paragraph D just reinforces earlier language. That subdivision 2 provides only licensed peace officers may issue administrative citations. And an officer may not be required to issue an administrative citation. So it seems to be up to the officer as to whether it will be an administrative citation or a criminal citation. Subdivision 3 provides for uniformity throughout the state, and this is a requirement of Minnesota statutes that traffic and criminal penalties have to be enforced uniformly throughout the state. Subdivision 4 provides for the right to contest the citation. The peace officer has to give the cited person notice that there is a challenge opportunity available. The local units have to provide that process. They have to contract with a neutral third party to hear challenges. The state patrol also may contract for a neutral third party to hear challenges to patrol issued citations. Subdivision 5 provides for disbursement of fines. There's a uniform $60 fine for violations of the administrative penalties. Paragraph B provides as to how those fines are distributed, and they are if the citations are issued by local officers, 2/3 of the fines are transferred to the local unit of government, 1/3 to the state general fund, and then that is kind of flipped over for the state trooper citations. 1/3 goes to the entity that collects the fine, and 2/3 to the state general fund. Then there's a citation. There's an exception in subdivision 6 for commercial driver's licenses, and that's in order to avoid the masking issue, because an administrative citation does not go on a person's driver's record, and also cannot be used to revoke or suspend a license. Subdivision 8 requires the local governments to report information in any concerning what they collect on these administrative penalties in any report summary or audit. And there's a local preemption provision. Then Section 8 provides that any of these administrative penalties are not subject to the statutory traffic surcharge of $75. The Commissioner of Public Safety is directed to work with law enforcement organizations to create that uniform citation form, and then there's an effective date, and that actually applies to the mini trucks. Effective August 1 of 09, expires in 2012, and that's identical to the Senate.
Thank you, Ms. Perzowski.
You're welcome.
Further discussion on Senate File 492, Senator Baum.
Well, since the local units of government are so excited about putting this into play, I'd like to hear a little bit more about how they're going to work with the requirement here for them to provide a neutral third party to hear and rule on challenges to the administrative citations.
Welcome to the conference committee. If you could just identify yourself for the record, please.
Good evening. My name is Ann Finn. I represent the League of Minnesota Cities. Mr. Chairman and Senator Moi, the neutral third party and the administrative hearing officer process is something that's already familiar to local units of government. It's my understanding in speaking with city officials that when they have other ordinance violations that are contested at the local level, it's not an uncommon practice for the local unit of government to contract with someone to come in on any given day to interact with a person who would like to appeal a violation.
Representative Cornish.
And if I might add to that, Mr. Chair, Senator Mao, even I'm the chief of a small town of 2,500, one of the smallest, and even we, I've already have a procedure set up for that. If somebody, we've got a number of local ordinances that sometimes are appealed and it works quite well.
Senator Mao.
Mr. Chair, as a follow up, and line 5.30, I'm under the right to contest the citation. So the peace officer who issues an administrative citation must inform the vehicle operator and person's right to contest the citation. Do we have an idea what format that notice is going to take? Is it going to be on the ticket? Is it going to be a box that they check off? How do we know that somebody has been informed of their right to contest the citation?
Representative Hodge.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Mao, the intention was with the establishing of the uniform ticket itself with the Department of Public Safety that there could be notice on that, just as it is with the criminal citation with the right to appeal or to, you know, what the options are for an individual. It can also be done verbally, I'm sure, but the ticket that's developed, which we give the Department of Public Safety 60 days to do, should have that notice.
And Representative, I don't see that in here, so it'll be, I'd like it to be put on the record, but if you all are going to move forward with this, that ought to be part of the form that is going to be developed.
Senator Clark.
Perhaps Council might. I think that Senator Moss brings up a good point. I know that that is what the intention is, but it would seem like a simple addition of a sentence to be on there. Mm.
Representative Hodge.
Mr. Chair, I would make a request, whether to council or we can make a formal motion that you know, subdivision 4, item A within section 7, be referenced in section 9 of the bill, which create the uniform citation. So put a reference in there. Addressing section 7, subdivision 4, right away.
Ms. Brzozowski, did you kind of track that?
Mr. Chair, I think I understand. I can put something together and see if the committee wants to adopt it.
Senator Clark, did you have a...
Yeah, I was just going to say, I do. I think if that works, that's good. Otherwise, we should develop a sentence because I think that that is something that otherwise, even with a good intent, we want to make sure it happens.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and maybe Representative Rush can answer this. Line 6.3, State Patrol may contract. Can you run that by me as to how that's going to work?
Representative Hosh?
Let me.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, where are you?
Page 6, 6.3. Just the mechanics of that.
Representative Hosh.
I couldn't tell you, the specific mechanics of how that would work. Right now, I believe our municipalities can contract with the State Patrol on a number of issues, jurisdictional issues, coverage, so on and so forth. I don't know the exact details of how that contracting would work. I don't know.
Welcome to the, can you shed some light on that?
Mr. Chairman, Eric Hyland, representing the Minnesota Chiefs of Police and Minnesota Sheriff's Association. Yeah, in our discussions with the State Patrol, the intention here is that whatever the jurisdiction that the State Patrol ticket is written, one of the reasons why one-third of that revenue goes to the local unit of government where the ticket is written is to pay for the expenses of those appeals. And so that was kind of the conversations that we had with the State Patrol, that the State Patrol with those administrative citations would keep two-thirds of that revenue. One-third would go to the local municipality to cover the costs of dealing with any appeals that may result from a State Patrol issued administrative citation.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, is that
get to your point? I was looking at Representative Cornish to see how the mechanics of that work.
Representative Cornish, does that work in your department?
That'll work good, and actually there'll be so very few of these because it doesn't go on your record, it's a low fine, doesn't go on your insurance. We expect appeals to be almost very minimal. So if and what there is, I think it'll be handled very easily this way.
Senator Mall.
Mr. Chair and Representative Cornish, does that one-third automatically go to the local units of government, or does that contemplated one-third or two-thirds get deposited into a fund and you only pay when you contract?
Representative Cornish?
One-third will go to the city automatically and then two-thirds to the state, but I don't know if we haven't divided up any further than that in the specific question.
Senator Mall.
Mr. Chair, if Ingebrigtsen is finished, I have one more issue on this. Mm-hmm. In the
sure.
Section. So for the cities who say that this is going to help local law enforcement, because it seems that it is sort of a love fest among local government and local law enforcement, why is it that only we're requiring that at 6.13, we're only asking for at least one half of the funds for law enforcement purposes? Why not ask for 100% of the funds to go towards law enforcement purposes, plus or minus administrative costs?
Why did we divide it up?
Representative Cornish.
Mr. Chair and Senator Mall, you say why did we divide it up the way we did from 6.12 to 6.15?
At line 6.13,
Senator Mall.
You say that, sorry, Mr. Chair.
That's all right.
You say that carrying from line 6.12, a local unit of government receiving fine proceeds under this section must use at least one half of the funds for law enforcement purposes. Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing is that law enforcement really wants this because it's going to help law enforcement. So why not say that all of the funds will be used for law enforcement purposes, plus or minus whatever minimal they need to use for operating or administrative purposes by the city?
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Mount, the reason we did it this way is everybody was at the bargaining table, the cities, the law enforcement, and all parties when we conceived this language, and it was thought that one half would go to law enforcement and one half, whatever the city wanted to use to cover the costs of the hearing, administrative purposes for this, rather than just say all law enforcement purposes, because then somebody might stretch that into it can only be used for squad cars, only be used for radar, and da-da-da-da. This way the city has a little more flexibility over using the other half of that share.
Follow-up?
Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Chair, and maybe the city can answer this then. What's contemplated under for the use by the city of the other half, I'm assuming that will go to the city's general operating fund for city purposes?
Ms. Finn?
Mr. Chair and Senator Moi, yes. And certainly some local units of government would use some of these funds for public safety purposes. However, they would not be required to do so under this legislation.
Further discussion? I know there are some amendments that some have brought. Are we prepared to,
Well, Mr. Chair, I was asked to draft an amendment that I think had previously been prepared by Senator Foley, so I don't know.
I think that since Senator Foley couldn't be here, I know Senator Mao talked to me about it too. And Senator Mao, would you like to
move it
and discuss it?
Mr. Chair, members, I don't know very much about Senator Foley's amendment. He just showed it to me, and so I would like to move it for purpose of discussion, but I think that it's unfortunate that he's not able to be here to talk about his amendment.
And I certainly would be willing to offer it to you, but I'm sure that it's against what I personally am for, but I think it's important that we get something out on the table and never ask it.
Senator Clark, would you like to move the A2?
Sure.
Senator Clark moves the A2 amendment to Senate File 492. Senator Moa, you maybe have as much knowledge, you and I maybe have as much knowledge as anyone on what's here, but we're going to maybe have to just walk through it together in a little bit.
Mr. Chairman, the council could walk off this here.
Ms. Brzoski, have you looked at it fairly closely?
I will show you.
All right. Take us through it.
There are four basic changes in this amendment to the underlying language. The first is begins on 1.4, that a peace officer may not issue a citation to a person who has received a citation issued by any local unit of government in the past 12 months. The second substantive change, is on 1.9, and it would require any local units of government that adopt resolutions authorizing administrative fines to notify the Commissioner of Public Safety. Then on 111 and 112, that changes the distribution of fine revenue in when the local officers issue the citations. And instead of two-thirds local and one-third general fund, state general fund, it's half and half. And the final change has to do with imposes a reporting requirement annually on any local jurisdiction that adopts a resolution or has an administrative fine program to report various categories of information to the Commissioner of Public Safety. The number of citations and how much money was collected, how much for speeding, how many state citations for speeding. And then the Commissioner has to turn around and report, summarize the information and report to the legislature.
That's the amendment, Representative Cornish.
Mr. Chair, members, I would strongly oppose the amendment. Senator Foley is a good friend of mine. We've talked at length about this in his office, and I knew of his problems with this, but like you folks, having not vetted something from our committee here last night, none of this has been talked about in our committees, and this would not only change policy, a huge change, it would change the fiscal portion of the bill, and which we balanced very carefully between the counties and the cities and the sheriffs for months to come up with our formula. This would change everything, and the accountability, I think, is already there in our bill. We have the cities having to have a line item to account for it. And now the court administration will have a good tracking of this. And so I know Senator Foley's problems with it, but this is a huge change. It would change policy and the fiscal portion of throw everything askew.
Senator Clark.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm wondering, and Representative Cornish, I really do appreciate that, but I'm wondering, there are four different things on here, and I wonder if we could just briefly get some testimony on on each of the four. I believe that the third one is probably the very biggest one. There may or may not be big issues, or some of this may actually enhance it. So I'm just wondering if we can get some testimony.
All right. Further discussion, or do we want to go to testimony? I can wait. You can wait? Okay.
Mr. Chair, members, I believe in from lines 1.3 to 1.6, that's problematic because while some police departments and sheriff's offices are a little bit more sophisticated in their record keeping, these citations primarily would be not recorded anywhere, so it would be quite difficult in probably most jurisdictions to be able to tell, short of asking that person, have you received an administrative citation in the last year, whether or not that person had actually received a citation. I do believe, that being said, that in the future, I know with the work that DPS is doing with their record keeping systems and that cities migrate towards that area, that in the future that will become a lot easier to do, but my fear is right now that's probably not technically feasible. The second piece from 1.8 to 1.10, as Representative Cornish mentioned, that part, I don't see any particular reason why that's any problem at all. The third piece from 1.1 to 1.12, as Representative Cornish mentioned, that was a delicate piece agreed to in the course of our negotiations, and I think we would oppose making that change. And then the remaining lines in the amendment, I'd like to draw members' attention to page 6, line 25, so 6.25, subdivision 8. There is some language there already requiring a city, a county, a town that uses administrative citations. There is some reporting that they would then have to make to the state auditor. And so I think there's already language currently in the bill that kind of addresses the reporting aspect of this. And that is one of the areas that we do acknowledge that there's not a lot of data out there right now. And so collecting this data and reporting it and letting everybody know that this is what's going on in communities that are using administrative citations is a good idea.
Senator Wong, did you? I know you had your hand up earlier.
Mr. Chair, I just want to react a little bit to testimony here. Representative Cornish, I'm glad that the House had ample opportunity to vet this issue. I'm glad that the House has had ample opportunity to vet these provisions. In the Senate, we did not. So it's not even an issue if it's an issue for you that the A2 amendment has not been vetted through your committee process. The whole House provision has not been vetted through the Senate process. We have one hearing, the Transportation Policy Committee. This bill is supposed to go through Judiciary, and then ultimately Judiciary Budget, and I believe one other committee. And so the whole provision, not to mention the A2 amendment, is provisions that's not been vetted through the Senate process. I think now that I have heard counsel explain the A2 amendment, I think Senator Foley is quite worried about his tails and his budget. And you said in the public safety budget division with me, Representative, in the conference committee with me, Representative Cornish, and some of the discussions there were quite difficult. We had to raise quite a bit of fees to protect to give the court some budgets. And what we're doing here is undoing a fee structure that was put in place back in 2003, subsequently in 2005, and then in 2007, to take care of the state budget. So I think Senator Foley did this because he had some concerns about the tails problems that he might be having in the judiciary budget. So I think that given that the Senate hasn't had an opportunity to vet these provisions and to get a testimony on how the fiscal note was brought about, because I have looked through the fiscal note and the fiscal note was not exactly an exact science in how the fiscal note came about. So if the fiscal note was not quite an exact science to reach the zero fiscal impact, then how do we know that this is not such a good idea? So I think that a bunch of people got together at the table, they decided to how to split up the spoils, and I think Senator Foley took a look at his budget. He's concerned about the impact in the out years as this gets implemented, and he would like an opportunity to even up or to have an opportunity to look at how its impact. So I don't think that it is unreasonable to expect a report back so that the legislature could, as we have delegated our authority over traffic regulation to local governments,
that we should have an opportunity to get a report back so that we can track it. And I think that Senator Foley is just buying insurance for his budget here. If this doesn't work, the cities can come back next year and we can re-examine. Once the report comes in, we can re-examine how to better make the split. But we don't have any information. And so how do we decide what would be the right split? As for the comment on the local governments not being able to do the records, they know best how they can do that. I can't speak to that.
Senator Clark.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Flynn and Mr. Hyland, it would seem, well, number one, it seems like there probably is some interest in the second one, both sides, regardless of what else happens. But I know that we're already acquiring information to go to the state auditor. It makes sense that the public commission will want it. The question I have is, and I was asking council if we could just require the state auditor to share the information with the public safety commissioner, if there's an easier way to do this. I do think having information brought forward to our committees is a very important thing. It's a good idea to be assessing how it's working, how is it likely that goes well. That would be needed information for making future budget decisions. So I don't know if you figured out a way to make that happen. I just was trying to figure out how they have not reported to two different entities, that was all. But perhaps they
maybe all Ms. Berzovsky looks at that. Senator Ingebretson.
Mr. Chair, are we on the amendment or where are we, I guess?
Yeah, we're on the amendment.
If I could just comment on the amendment, Mr. Chair and members, I too would say no to this amendment. I mean that the citation here, administrative citation, and as testimony is cited here, there's just no way you're going to be able to track that. That would make it almost impossible. Obviously, the fiscal impact on the second half there is certainly going to make a big difference. And quite frankly, the section through 1.15 through 1.22 is basically that, and everything above it is going to gut the bill. So I would absolutely not be in favor of this amendment. Now, to the Senator Moss statement about not being vetted, that's not totally true. We did have this talked about in the Senate, at least over the past couple of years that I've been involved. In fact, I had an amendment to take this out of the, or at least something similar to this, administrative fines out of the Senator Foley's budget in committee, and of course it did fail. But so there wasn't a whole lot of intimate discussion about the bill itself at that time, but it isn't something new that's been going on in the Senate, and I know Leo's been passionate about this, and quite frankly that's why, probably, is because of his fiscal responsibility, but it has been at least vetted to that regards over there. So those are my comments.
Representative Cornish.
Well, I was just going to say, in the spirit of cooperation, Representative Hodge, I don't know if you're thinking this way too, but there's parts of this I was worked up about the fiscal portion, and I mentioned that I thought this was duplicity here. If there was some way council could come up with a reporting requirement, but leave out 1.4 to 1.6 and leave out 1.11 to 1.12, and somehow figure a way for council to come up with language for some reporting requirements, I don't think that would change things. But that would be acceptable to Senator Mound or Representative Hosh.
Representative Hosh, to that point.
Mr. Chair, I think within Subdivision 8 on page 6 with the administrative fine reporting that we already have, I think directing yet another reporting requirement for our local units of government, especially during these financial times, is unneeded. If anything, I would say that the Department of Public Safety shall collect a sample of cities and report back on the data that they are already required to do, and that could be submitted to the chairs. But it seems like we're just duplicating something that's already there that will be readily available. And at this point, I don't think there's a need for this, because any chair of a committee, any staff member can call up the state auditor, can call up the city, can call up the county and say, you know, what's been your past year activity, and that is public information, and it will be available once this legislation passes.
Senator Clark.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hatch, do you have an issue with having the state auditor share the information that's already been reported?
Oh, I'm Representative Hatch.
Mr. Chair, Senator Clark, I would be fine with that.
That's what I've asked counsel. And I think we've got something probably pretty close.
Ms. Brzozowski?
Mr. Chair, I haven't quite figured out where to put it yet, but I was thinking about something like the state auditor shall annually report to the Commissioner of Public Safety information concerning administrative fines collected by local units of government under section 169.999. And then I guess is the desire then that the Commissioner of Public Safety would have a, so then we would probably just add that 1.19 to 1.22, or just say that there should be an annual report submitted as a provider.
Representative Hodge.
Mr. Chair, I think something like that sounds fine. Maybe you know, instead of trying to put it into this amendment, we should just vote on this amendment and then we can
come back and make some oral amendments to the bill that we have before us. Further discussion then on the A2 amendment? Further discussion, seeing none. All those in favor of the A2 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Clark.
I know this is probably not the technically correct way to do it, but I would like to move that the language that is on this piece of paper on 1.17 to 1.10 would be adopted. Sound like everybody is fine with that. A local unit of government would notify the commissioner.
Members, for reference, then, if you would look on the A2 amendment and you.
Testifiers are nodding their heads.
And you'd pick up the language that's 1.7 through 1.10. 1.8 through 1.10. And Mr. Brzozowski, find some place to figure that all out. Senator Ingebretson, to that. Is that a motion, Senator Clark?
Yes.
We have a motion before us, an oral amendment. Senator Ingebretson.
Thank you. To that amendment. Just a question to the folks at the other end of the table. Is that going to be a costly ordeal or not?
Ms. Pham?
Sure. Mr. Chair, Senator Ingebretson, I'm not quite sure I understand what you're doing here. I think, are you suggesting that the state auditor would report this information then to the public safety commissioner, or you're saying that the local government would report it to the commissioner of public safety?
After they passed
Senator Clark.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. If my city council passed this resolution, they would send a letter. I argue they could send an email to the commissioner of public safety and say we passed a resolution. That way the commissioner can be starting to collect data.
Ms. Finn?
Mr. Chair, Senator Clark, I don't think there's a reason for us to object to that.
Further discussion on the Clark oral amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Further discussion on the bill before us? Senator Moore.
I have to run to go chair my own conference committee, so I just want to know from our two testifiers how much money local government is expecting to collect under this fine scheme over the next biennium. And then I also want to know if they have specifically broken it down by city. I need to know how much my city, the city of St. Paul, will be collecting from administrative fines.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Moore, that's a difficult question to answer because this language is permissive. It doesn't require cities to adopt administrative citations. So we don't really have a good sense of the number of cities that are going to adopt this administrative citations. We do know from the analysis done in the fiscal note that, going back to the state auditor's report, the auditor said that this is not a significant source of revenue for cities. And obviously, depending on the type of city and the aggressiveness use of administrative citations, I would also point out that cities that are currently using administrative citations, with this language, many cities are going to have to stop using administrative citations for some of the stuff that they're currently using administrative citations. So that might actually be a reduction in revenue to some cities that are currently using administrative citations. So, Senator Moy, you know, I don't know if the city of St. Paul would adopt this. I don't know. I don't know, and we don't have an idea of how many cities are going to actually adopt administrative citations.
Follow up?
Well, Mr. Chair, members, I just need to have the information. I sit in the tax conference committee, and I'm going to be fighting for LGA for local governments for the next couple of days. And if they're already getting their resources from elsewhere, then I don't have to fight so hard for LGA.
Further discussion? Senator Clark?
I was going to say, I don't mean to be being so chatty, but I think we've got a couple of ideas to hear. We'll go back to council in a second, but on the issue with regard to notification, the suggestion is that after the period on line 5.29, that we insert uniform citation must include notification that the person has the right to contest the citation. Period.
To make it very clear that they need to be notified. Is that your intent?
Yes.
Everyone understand their oral amendment?
Mr. Chair, could that be repeated?
Representative Reiner wants clarification there. Senator Clark?
The uniform citation must include notification that the person has the right to contest the citation. And that would be right after the period on line 5.29.
Ms. Brzozowski, could you read it back to us? After the period on 5.29.
The uniform citation must include notification that the person has the right to contest the citation.
Mr. Allen.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Brzozowski, maybe since you're using uniform administrative citation in that whole paragraph, maybe you should get uniform administrative citation in on that sentence too.
Good technical point. Thank you. Further discussion on the oral amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the motion prevails.
I also had asked
Senator Clark.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I'd asked council just to double check because it had actually been state and local that our bill got through. We only had one person who objected to it. We actually had changed the minds of several people from the past few years. So, like Representative Cornish, and we're seeing some good momentum. Because we just haven't seen this in a while, just to kind of check and see if there was any technical things. So we do have one more amendment, and it had to do with the masking issue. I just showed it to the budget board, so just kind of trying to clarify a little bit more. So the A3 is.
Senator Clark moves the A3 amendment. And Ms. Brzozowski, are you going to explain this to us, or Senator Clark, are you comfortable with this, or you want
comfortable? I'm comfortable with it, but I think council can.
Ms. Brzozowski.
Mr. Chair and members, this year the legislature passed and it's been enacted a provision against masking. And that provision, which was in the transportation budget bill, says that any violation that is committed by a holder of a commercial driver's license or the driver of a commercial vehicle, it doesn't have to be a CDL holder, cannot be masked. In other words, it has to show up on the person's driving record. So this language expands the exception in the bill to include drivers of commercial vehicles in which an administrative violation occurred.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, this has been a particular concern, understandably, for Senator Murphy, and he certainly is feeling a lot better about the bill right now because of the efforts to deal with this particular issue. I think he found this to be a good.
And Senator Murphy helped me with the severability part, just in case this gets appealed off in the Senate, my mini trucks live on, so I just... further, I'm sorry, Representative Reiner. You're looking at me with your hand up. I should react in a positive way, right?
It's after 11, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Perhaps Representative Cornish or someone can answer this for me, not being a holder of a commercial license nor an owner of a commercial vehicle. It's permissible for someone without a commercial license to be driving a commercial vehicle?
Representative Cornish?
Well, let's see. It says administrative holder of a commercial driver's license or the driver of a commercial vehicle in which the administrative violation was committed.
Who's Ms. Brzozowski? Was that Senator Murphy's language? Or?
Well, it was originally a department bill that was ultimately included in the transportation budget bill.
I suppose it would be dependent on what the commercial vehicle is being used for. If it wasn't used for commerce, I don't know if you'd have to have a commercial vehicle license to drive it.
And although I know during certain times of the year you can hire people without CDLs to drive farm vehicles.
Yeah, semis.
Semis and beats and things.
Yeah, that's
that might fall under that category.
Mr. Chair, if that's a possibility, then certainly I think this is a good coverage, I guess. It just surprises me that that's a possibility.
It's a violation.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A3 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion prevails. Anything further? Further discussion? At some point, we need the house language moved or accepted.
I certainly would be, well, the one I'm probably offered is the record. But the one other issue that we were trying to address with the state auditor sharing the information.
Where were we going to do that, Senator Clark?
I believe council has figured out.
Ms. Brzozowski, so glad you're here tonight.
Good. Mr. Chair, I was sort of dovetailing here off of Senator Foley's amendment on 1.13 and 1.14 and to insert at that point, to have a paragraph A and a paragraph B. And then
on page 6, then, is that where we're headed? Okay.
Yes, where the that's where the recording administrative penalty recording requirement exists. And then to add to that, subdivision of state auditor shall annually report to the Commissioner of Public Safety information concerning administrative fines collected by local units of government under section 169.999. The Commissioner of Public Safety shall annually submit a report, and then continue on with Senator Foley's language on 1.20 to 1.22. To the chairs and ranking minority members of the Senate and House of Representatives committees, having jurisdiction over criminal justice policy and funding, summarizing the reports the Commissioner received under this paragraph.
Members, let's start with Representative Washington.
Although I agree with the intent of what's being done here, one of the things that we've worked on is trying to minimize the cost. And I would be fine to say that the data collected by the auditor must be shared with other state agencies. To require a report and to require an annual submission to the department, I don't know if that's really needed right now. I think if the chairs of the committees have concerns, I think it's within our powers to ask for that information, to have that included or to be presented in front of the respective committees. So I think just simplifying it to say.
Representative Reiner?
Mr. Chair, I'll pass and tell Representative Bosch finishes his discussion.
I'm done with my comments.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bosch, what if we deleted the word submit and then it's just shall report to the chairs? And I think that this could be a verbal report.
That's fine.
The intent is just to make sure that the information gets back. And frankly, sometimes we do challenge. We don't ask departments to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And we do know that the Commissioner of Public Safety supports this, so my guess is that he would be willing to come in.
Representative, how much?
Not to belabor the point. That I think is moving towards the direction, or upon request. By the chairs shall submit a report or something like
okay.
Under those circumstances, I think would be more acceptable.
Representative Reiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When we're there, I'd like to have the proposed amendment repeated so I know exactly what we're dealing with. And Senator, what we learned in public safety this year is that even when we make requests of departments, we don't always get what we're looking for.
Mr. Chair, Representative Reiner, this is kind of an ongoing challenge of many agencies.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, did you?
No, I'm good.
Were you heading down there?
No, I as well. Agree with that. Senator.
Representative Cornish.
I think it's a good idea because the whole thing that we ran into problem in the past is the citations that we were dealing with, there wasn't enough record keeping, so we couldn't get enough data. So the accountability, I think, is good in the future.
Well, you know what I'm going to ask you to do now, Ms. Brzozowski, is to read it back to us so we get it right.
Well, okay. So this would be a paragraph B then under that subdivision 8. The state auditor shall annually report to the Commissioner of Public Safety information concerning administrative fines collected by local units of government under section 169.999. The Commissioner of Public Safety shall report to the chairs and ranking minority members of the Senate and House of Representatives committees having jurisdiction over criminal justice policy and funding, summarizing the reports the Commissioner received under this paragraph.
Senator Clark.
Mr. Chair, in the spirit of what Representative Hodge said, can we insert before the Commissioner of, could we say upon request,
upon
comma,
request.
The Commissioner of Public Safety shall?
Mm-hmm. That'd be appreciated. Upon request is going to be inserted there so that it's not a mandate.
Okay.
Are we all clear on that? Senator Clark moves the oral amendment. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Hosh or Senator Clark should move the House language to the Senate.
I would be happy to move the House language to...
as amended,
as amended, to Senate File 492.
We have a motion before us. Further discussion. I know there's others who would bother to be here tonight. We haven't asked everyone to come to the table, and we would hope that everyone here doesn't want to come to the table. But if you feel
the
need,
will we get more money?
I don't know what your contract says, but. We'll, I see nobody running to the batting cage here to take some swings, so we have the amendment before us to move the House language to the Senate file. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion prevails. I want to thank Ms. Brzozowski and Charlie for helping me. I sent my LA home today not thinking we'd get to this point, and they've been pinch hitting for me today, and I appreciate it very much. Representative Saylor.
Thank you, Senator Scogan. I would just like to thank you for the severability piece in here, because we wouldn't want the mini trucks to go down after all the work that was put in on that. So, at any rate, I just wanted to thank you for making sure that was there.
Winona County is now in the process of buying some mini trucks, and they're going to use them on some of their shorter trips. They love this. So we're going to.
That's okay.
Yes,
I appreciate that language being inserted, but I think that the kinds of concerns the court would normally have and has had in the past, we have now clarified it, because we're providing uniformity, we're giving specific instructions. So I think we're going to be good to go, and both mini trucks and administrative fines are going to be for a good future. And while being tongue-in-cheek, the bottom line is, this is something that's going to be good for our communities in these tough budget times. I think hopefully we're going to make a difference. So, it's rare that we have so many people come together over something. I know we have, obviously, a split of opinion over here. It's partly about process.
It's mostly about process, but it's certainly not peace in the valley. But
we'll
bring the conference committee report back, and we'll get it back to them. So I appreciate your work.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for being here.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you very much.
Thank you. We are adjourned.
Yeah, I didn't bring
little tiny hole, and I had a different picture that actually had basically, here's one with a little bit of scale. But they're really tiny.
They are.
And they get good